Thank you, Pastor, and what a treat it is to have faithfulness in the pulpit for 25, 26 years here at Meriden. Give it up for your pastors. It says a lot because, you know, there's a lot of transition when you get into pastoral ministry. You know, a couple of years, the honeymoon wears off, and we tend to, or for whatever reason, there seems to be this parting of ways. And so to be here for 20 plus years is tremendous. And so you have wonderful pastors, and so thank you. Thank you again for the opportunity. My wife sends her greetings. She is at home with my other three kids. I've got two other boys, one who's 19, who shouldn't be at home, but it is, and one who is 16, and then my daughter, who just turned 9 years old today, and so they're at home making sure that she has her birthday. Now, it's not to say that I just totally missed her birthday, because on Thursday, we had to go to Incredible Pizza, her and a couple of friends of hers, and so we did that, and then we'll have another birthday party for her tonight, and so she's spoiled. My boys will tell you that. She's definitely spoiled, but she's my only daughter, and so this is the only chance I get to spoil my baby girl, and so she does get spoiled. And but I want to say thank you for my son for making the trip with me, Jordan, who just said, "Hey, what time are we leaving?" And I didn't know he was going with me. And so he said, "What time are we leaving?" So I told him, and he said he'd be ready. So I was excited to hear that he was coming along. I do have a video that I want to watch if it's ready to go. This is just a short. I found it funny. You may not. Our humors could be totally different. But watch it and just humor me with a good chuckle at the end, even if you didn't think it was funny. But this will kind of introduce our topic of encouragement today.
I think we all need a pep talk. The world needs you to stop being boring. Yeah, you. Boring is easy. Everybody can be boring, but you're gooder than that. Life is not a game, people. Life isn't a cereal eater. Well, it is a cereal. And if life is a game, aren't we on the same team? I mean, really, right? I'm on your team. Be on my team. This is life, people. You got air coming through your nose. You got heartbeat. That means it's time to do something. A poem. Two roads diverged in the woods. And I took the road less traveled.
It hurt, man!
Really bad.
Rocks, thorns, and glass.
My pants broke.
Wah!
Not cool, Robert Frost. But what if there really were two paths? I won't be in the one that leads to awesome. It's like that dude Journey said, don't stop believing unless you dream stupid. Then you should get a better dream. I think that's how it goes. Get a better dream and keep going. Keep going, keep going, and keep going. Let Michael Jordan have quit. Well, he did quit. So he retired. Yeah, that's right. He retired. But before that, in high school, what if he quit when he didn't make the team? He would have never made Space Jam. And I love Space Jam. What will be your Space Jam? What will you create will make the world awesome? Nothing if you keep sitting there. That's why I'm talking to you today. This is your time. This is my time. It's our time. We can make every day better for each other. If we're all on the same team, let's start acting like it. We got work to do. We can cry about it, or we can dance about it. We were made to be awesome. Let's get out there. I don't know everything. I'm just a kid. But I do know this. It's everybody's duty to give the world a reason to dance. Get to it. You just did a pep talk. Create something that will make the world awesome. Play ball.
Yeah, just a fun little video, and he goes on to talk a little bit about the fact that that was for his friend Gabby, who is suffering with cancer, and it was just a way to encourage her. And so today I want to talk about encouragement. How many of us from time to time, I would not want you to raise your hand because then you would seem, maybe self-promoting. But from time to time, let me say it this way. From time to time, we all need a pat on the back, an attaboy, a way to go, good job. We all need those. We need those moments when somebody encourages us and says, you can do greater things. The Bible says greater things than this you do. Right? Jesus talking to his disciples. And so he was encouraging them. And so this morning I want to talk about this word encouragement and how it affects each of us and how each of us should be the encourager. There's an old story about a preacher who was leaving a church at his farewell dinner. Maybe you heard about this, but he tried to encourage one of the pillars in the church. It was an elderly lady, and she was kind of shedding some tears. And he went up to her and he said, I won't call her by name, but he just said to her, it's going to be okay. Maybe the next preacher will be better than I was. And with tears in her eyes and she kind of dampening with her Kleenex, she said, yeah, but that's what they said last time, but it only gets worse. And so that kind of encouragement kind of backfired, but he was sure trying, you know. And anyways, so here's the definition of encouragement, because sometimes we may get it confused with compliment. And we're talking something greater than a compliment. Encouragement is this: to give support or confidence or hope to someone. To give support and advice to someone so that they will do or continue to do something. That's encouragement. To help or stimulate, to develop them, that's encouragement. Did you know that the Greek word for encouragement, parakaleo, appears 105 times in the New Testament alone? That's a lot. Jesus talking about encouragement, encouraging his disciples to encourage. It's a spiritual gift that all of us in this room need to not only possess, but to put into practice and exercise on a daily basis, the spiritual gift of encouragement. The main passage I want to look at today is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. If you're a note taker, I will go fairly quickly, and maybe it would be best for you just to write it down and then maybe come back later and look the passage up. You could do that if you're quick. Maybe you got it on your phone. How many of you got your cell phone with you? Raise your hand up. All right, you got your cell phone. You might want to go ahead and take it out. It's okay. Go ahead and take your cell phone out if you choose to use that, and you got your Bible app on it. That's the only reason you would have your Bible out in church would be because you have a Bible app. And I know that nobody would be, you know, taking notes about what they need to do after church or the grocery list. You guys don't do that sort of thing on there, I'm sure. But you definitely are just using it for your Bible app. And so if you got your phone, go ahead and take it out. Here's the honest truth. At the end of the today, I'm going to have you use your cell phone anyways. And so if you've got your cell phone, you might as well go ahead and keep it powered up because we're going to use that at the end. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this: let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other all the more as the day of the Lord approaches. It's important that we as believers gather together on a regular basis. Not just to gather together, not just to come sing kumbaya, but we gather together to encourage one another. That's why we come together. We come together to sing. We come together to pray together. We come together to listen to the word and to be challenged together. We spend time in the altars together. We come together to encourage one another to continue on in our walk with Christ. That's why we come to church. Otherwise, it's just another meeting. You see? It's just another meeting. It's just another thing to put on our schedule. And may it be more than that for each of us. May we come together all the more to encourage one another. You can make it. I know you had a bad week last week, but I'm praying with you. I'm going to stand with you in the gap. I'm here for you. I'm encouraging you to go on. We encourage one another. That's why we meet together. This morning, it's my prayer that each of us become more of an encourager when we leave this place than we were when we arrived. The Bible gives clear instructions to all of us that we are to be an encourager. And that goes for all the believers. You know, there are some of us that, I say some of us, meaning me, that's not what I meant. There are some of us in the body of Christ that have been given a special gift of encouragement. There's a man in the Bible, Barnabas, right? And Barnabas, what made him special, his name was not Barnabas, but that's how we know him. His name was Joshua. But the disciples gave him the name Barnabas simply because he was an encouragement to them. He was one of those who had the gift of encouragement that was just, like, super exceeded. Like, everything. Have you ever been around somebody who's just positive all the time? How many of you ever just want to kick them sometimes? But we need him, you understand? But because we're not like that all the time. I'm not always that person either, so I'm not calling myself a Barnabas by any means. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying that there are those in the church body, Pastor, that are encouragers. I mean, that's their gift. If you can look and say, that man or that woman, that's their gift. They are an encourager. However, that does not mean that all the rest of us are off the hook and we don't have to be encouragers. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm saying there are some who have that special, I mean, that's their gift, but there are others, but the rest of us, rather, need to be encouragers all the time as well. And for some of us, we just have to practice a little harder. For some of us, we have to go out of our way and make it a conscious effort to encourage. And some do not. Some it just comes natural, and that's just who they are. So depending on what boat you fit in there, me, I have to make a conscious effort, Pastor, to be an encourager. And I'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment, but So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not Barnabas. I'm not trying to say that. But there are those in the church who are. But the rest of us have to make a conscious effort to be an encourager. But all believers should be that way. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "But encourage one another so long as it is called today, so that we'll not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Encourage one another. It doesn't say Barnabas encourage all the church. This is an instruction to the church body at large, and that is to encourage one another so long as it's called today, that we'll not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And that's why we meet together, to encourage one another. There are three areas that I think that people fall into. And so no matter what area that you're in this morning or what area that someone on your heart is in this morning, it's important that we encourage people to move forward in the Lord. Remember that it's not just a compliment. It's encouraging people to move forward to accomplish something. Here's the first area that I think people fall into. And that is that area one would be those who have not yet accepted Jesus as Savior of their life. They're not convinced that they need a Savior. There are a number of people, even in Merritt and the surrounding county area here, that need to know Jesus. How many of you know somebody who, okay, maybe don't want to raise your hand because maybe it's the spouse standing next to you, I don't know, but that needs Jesus in their life. They have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. You know somebody like that. I want to encourage each of you to know somebody like that. We need to know somebody who needs to know Jesus. We need to personally be engaged with people who need to know Jesus. It shouldn't be us four and no more. It should be us four plus the one who needs to know Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so that way we can be an encouragement to that individual. It's important that each of us know that person that needs to know Jesus. We have that person in our life. It could be somebody young. It could be somebody who's more mature. I don't know the most politically correct way to say it. Those who fit in the category that we were talking about earlier today. You need to know somebody. Then, you know, I was talking to, I won't say I was talking to your pastor, but I was talking to somebody this morning. Blaine, that we have a vision for young people, and we often say that if they come to Jesus by the age of 8 or 9, we have a better opportunity to reach them. But here's my heart, being in ministry for the number of years that I've been in ministry, is this, that I know that we have a generation of people who are over the age of 8 or 9, okay, maybe over the age of 40 or 50, okay, maybe approaching 60 or 70, and they need to know Jesus. And you know what, not do they just need to know Jesus, but they're looking down the pike of their life going, you know what, I maybe got 5 or 10 years left. I really need to know Jesus. I need something. There's something that's got to be significant about my life that hasn't been for the last 70 years. You understand? And so I think we have a great opportunity to reach people that aren't 8 or 9 years old. but rather that are 60 or 70 or 80 years old. And you know what? They need to know Jesus just as much as that 9-year-old. You hear my heart? And so all of us, no matter what age we fit into, so whether we are, what grade are you in, hon? 10th grade. So whether we're a sophomore, do you know somebody who needs to know Jesus at your school? Your homeschool? Well, maybe it's your mom or your dad. I don't know. You're still that age, though. It's imperative that you know somebody that needs to know Jesus. It's imperative. What grade are you in? You're out of school. You're 12th grade. I would maybe thought you were out. Just about. You're excited, aren't you? May 15th, graduation Sunday, you're like, yes, me. You need to know somebody who needs to know Jesus. You hear my heart? We all need to know somebody who fits in this category of needing to know Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to think about who is that person this morning for you. Be thinking about that as we proceed on. We need to reach out to them with words, with actions, with attitude of encouragement. What do you mean by that? Glad you asked. We must reach them with words of encouragement. It may simply mean that we let them know that we're praying for them. Maybe we're praying for the kids, or we're praying for their marriage, or we're praying for their job. Whatever it is that affects their life. It's kind of shocking to them sometimes when they don't know Jesus, and they are sharing with you a turmoil about their life. They're just talking. Not that you're a believer and they think, oh, well, maybe you have some answer. They're just talking. And you ask them, hey, would it be all right for me to be praying with you or for you about little Johnny or little Susie? I have a guy who shared with me. He was just texting. We were texting back and forth. It was fairly recent. That's why I bring it up. He's not a believer in Christ, but he was just sharing with me that his daughter's been experiencing, been experiencing some medical issues. And so I just simply asked him, would it be okay if I prayed for his daughter? Could I have just prayed for her? Yeah, but I wanted to encourage him. And he came back, he was so shocked that I wanted to pray for his daughter. You understand? And so I'm opening this door of conversation now with him. And I'm trusting that he will give his life to Christ simply because we're using words of encouragement with him. So I want to encourage you, use words of encouragement with those individuals who have yet to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. You never know what door it may open. Let them know that you're praying for them, or ask them if you can pray for them. It will set them back. Whatever it is that is concerning them, let them be encouraged by your words through text, through conversation. Maybe you're sitting around the break room or at the city pool. I don't know what you have around here. City pool or no city pool. At the creek bed. Do you have a creek that everybody goes swimming at? All right. We had those where I grew up too, so. Wherever it is that you guys hang out, I don't know, but you do, and you understand the point there. Wherever it is that you're able to engage in conversation with them, engage. Don't be afraid to do so. Also, just a phone call, where it's not a text, where you pick up the phone and you actually dial a number and you say, hey, I just have you on my heart today. I've just really been thinking about you a lot. And I don't know what it is, but I just want to encourage you, man, that you got somebody who's praying for you, thinking about you today. If there's anything I can do for you, just let me know, man. How are things going? And you have a conversation with them. That says a lot. Maybe you're able to write a letter. It's one of those things that you fold it up usually, and you stick it in an envelope, and you put a stamp on it, and you put it in the mailbox. I do know how to mail. I have done it before, Pastor. All of us like to be able to go to the mailbox. And if we say we don't, we're just false humility. We all like to go to the mailbox and pull out the letter. That doesn't say past due. It doesn't say Chase MasterCard. It doesn't say JCPenney's. I don't know what junk mail you get around here, but you understand. But it's addressed to you, and it's from somebody, and it's handwritten, and you're able to open it up, and you read a letter. And those are encouraging. I have a whole file of encouraging letters. People mail. Maybe it's just a card, or just a thank you card, or a thinking about you card, or maybe it's just a on the yellow note paper. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what you call that. Legal pad? That legal pad paper. Those are encouraging. So maybe that's the way you reach those individuals. I don't know. There's a variety of ways to do it. So again, by our words, by our actions, by our attitude, let them see that your faith is important to you and to your household. Let them be encouraged by your faithfulness at work. What do you mean by that? I mean, let them see that you're faithful in all areas of your life. People are watching you. How many of you have ever gone to the mall or to some park or some place and you people watch? Do we have any other people watchers in here? I'm a people watcher. I love it. Love it. This is fun. It's entertaining. But as much as we like to watch people, people are watching you as well. When you say that your faith is important to you, they hear you say that at work, and they see your car is sitting in your parking lot on Sunday mornings, or they see you loading your golf clubs up on Sunday mornings, they watch you. They watch you. Now, I preach to the choir because you're all here on this Sunday morning, right? But a cool thing is, Pastor, is I don't know any of these folks, and I don't know what their habits are. And so maybe you're here this morning, and that is one of your habits. I don't know. But I do know this, that people are watching you. And they're watching your faithfulness in all areas of life. Not just that your faith is important, but how faithful are you to work? Are you the one who calls in all the time? Because you don't have a voice at that point. You understand? Because they're watching your life. They're watching every aspect of you. This is the non-believer. Remember, this is the people that fit in this category of non-believer. They're watching you. How do they respond at work? How do they respond? Is their faith really important to them? How do they talk? How do they talk about other people at work? Okay? They're watching you. They're watching your attitude. Do you have a bad attitude when you go to work? They're watching you. So have an attitude of encouragement as well. They're watching you. One of the ways we can encourage those who have not accepted the Lord is to encourage one another in the family of God as well. John chapter 13, verse 35 says this, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Your love for one another. What are you talking about on this? People who don't accept Christ, they're watching the way that you treat those of like precious faith. They're watching you. Do you come to work and you talk about somebody in the church in a negative light? Do you go to school and you talk about one of your peers in a negative way? Well, that girl in youth group last night, they're watching you. And now you would never complain about your pastor because he never has a bad message. But there are body of believers who have bad messages from time to time from pastor. Like that one just hit rock bottom. Like you're going to go out of here today maybe and say, that one hit rock bottom. And that's okay because you're going to go to work and say, that Tim Singer, he preached and it hit rock bottom. And they're not going to know me. But if you go to church and to work rather and you talk about Pastor Duncan, man, his message, man, he doesn't even connect anymore, blah, blah. Hear me? The way we treat one another, they are watching you. Why in the world would anybody want to be part of something like that? If I'm a non-believer and you're talking about your brother or sister in Christ that way, no thank you. I get enough of that in the world. You understand? So they're going to know that you're my disciples by the way that you treat one another. So treat each other with love and respect and encouragement. The old saying is, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all. That's pretty good advice, really. Right? If you don't have anything nice to say, if I don't have anything nice to say about you, I just don't talk about you at all. You understand? I don't know you, so I can say that. You understand what I'm saying? If I don't have anything nice to say, why in the world would I go to him and say, you know what, that dude, he's an idiot. He had a stupid idea, right? Like the video. No, I'm not going to do that. And so I want to encourage your love for one another. Prove to the world that you're my disciples. Area number two is this. Those who are part of the family of God, we need to encourage them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we read it once. Let me say it again. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other all the more as the day of the Lord approaches. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says it this way. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. It's imperative that we build each other up. When we come to church, I should feel like a relief when I leave here, like, ha, I feel good. I can conquer the world. I met with my family. I can conquer the world. I was in sales for a long time. And, as a high school student, my senior year, I don't know why I'm picking a year on the front row. This was cool. I worked at Sears and Roebuck. I was strictly commissioned. And I sold everything from refrigerators, microwaves. We didn't have word processors. Is what they were at the time. VCRs. I think we even have Beta on the shelf. You don't even know what that is, probably. But we had these stereo systems that had the thumping speakers that were about this tall, and they were cabinet camcorders that were about this big. I mean, I sold everything. Like, this is the whole. This was the electronics department. It like washers and dryers. I mean, it covered the whole gamut. And I made pretty good money. I was a pretty good salesman. There was a lot of things I couldn't do good, but I could talk. And before you left, you wanted to buy everything. And sometimes you had a stolen credit card, and you did buy everything. It was cool. Just because I had that happen once. This person walked away with a cabinet, like a stereo, and a TV, like the big screen. It was like the big screen, but it was like that thick, you know, the projector type. And it was like a younger person, but I didn't question it because it was a commission sales for me, right? Hey, they had the car, they paid, that's all I knew. I don't know why I told you that. Stolen credit card. Don't do that. Don't try that at home. But there are times where we have to encourage one another, build each other up. You're going, what are you talking about when you say that? Let me move on. I'm going to leave that one hanging and come back to it. It's important that we gather together to encourage one another daily. Don't use foul or abusive language. This comes out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says this, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I want to encourage you to, for those who are in the family of God, to really make a conscious effort to encourage them. It could be your pastors, be it youth pastors, children's workers, Royal Ranger leaders, people who have an impact on people in your life. Encourage them. Do so often. One of the greatest influencers in my life was my Royal Ranger leader. It was that individual who kept me in church. As a 9-year-old boy, he went out of his way to pick me up. I mean, I was that little boy that you probably went home and thought, do I really want to go pick him up next week? I was the young boy who came from an alcoholic father and a single mom, and so I was hungry for attention. You know the kid. That was me. And but I could tell you that there were two in particular, Hank Reifkogel, I don't know if you know that name or not, and John Strauss. Those were the two men that had a tremendous impact on my life at 9 years old. And they every week go pick me up faithfully. And then when it was Flag Day or whatever day it was that we had to go to the cemetery and put flags up, I don't even know what day that is, but we would go do that, and then we would go to breakfast. And so these were memories I have of him. But my mom is forever indebted to them. And she tells me that all the time. I'm forever indebted to them because they were men in your life that encouraged you. And so encourage those in the church in leadership. Encourage them often as a church body. You know, it could be a Sunday school teacher, too, or Sunday school teachers. It could be your faithful greeter who is at the door every week to greet people with a smile on their face. And although this is not hellfire and brimstone, maybe it's just hell and brimstone. Oh, yeah, hell and brimstone. Yes, it was, wasn't it? For all of you, that was like totally out of the loop. I'm sorry. He told me to preach hell and brimstone today and leave the fire out. And so that's what we're doing. So maybe it's your faithful greeter that's at the door every day. I don't know who it is for you and in your life, but you need to make a conscious effort to encourage them. Encourage them. And then just as believers, encourage one another. Again, we've read multiple verses today about that. Area number three. Those who have strayed from the truth. Those who have strayed from the truth. Luke chapter 15 verse 4 says this: What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? It is important that just as this, they're making an analogy here. If you read Luke chapter 15, you'll see there are other passages there, other parables. But this one is important to us from a variety of ways. But one of the ways it's important is because we see the importance of going after the one who has left, strayed from the flock. For whatever reason, maybe the grass seemed greener over here, and so he just kind of went this direction and strayed away. Maybe he got spooked away from the crowd. I don't know what you understand what I mean. It's hard telling why people, if we're going to bring it back to a humanistic analogy here, it's hard telling why people stray away from the flock. This is the one excuse that I'm sure you've never heard, but some pastors do hear: I'm just not being fed here any longer. I don't know. I don't know why people leave. And maybe you've been there. Maybe that's why you're at this church, because you weren't being fed at another church. Let me just throw this out here because I don't know you. And that is this: that if the last church was preaching the gospel of Christ and this church was preaching the gospel of Christ, you're getting fed the same food. It's important that we understand our leadership and appreciate and encourage one another. And that means just being part of the body. Amen. Being part of the body. And so in this particular case, for those of us who have strayed away, for whatever the cause may be, it's important that we encourage them. We see here where he leaves the 99 and goes after one with fervent, I think, with a desire to quickly find the one who has strayed away. Thus, harm may not come to them. Because a sheep left by himself in the wilderness that's fair game. You understand what I'm trying to say? A person who gets crossways with the church and strays out the door to not come back next week or next month or in 6 months is fair game. And the devil would love to pounce on them. It's imperative that we run after them with vigor. It's important that we run after them with an urgency to bring them back. If I have done something to crossways with you and you decide you're going to leave the church because you got crossways with me, I did something. I said something. I looked at you. I didn't shake your hand. Just experiences. And you leave the church. It's imperative. I know that. It's imperative of me to run after you and to make that right. I'm so sorry. I want to encourage you. Would you come back? Man, we need you. You need us. We need you. You understand? It's important that we do that. Again, people leave for a variety of reasons, and I understand. Do something or whatever the case may be, they leave, they get out of the fold. But it's imperative, if there's anything that we can do to encourage them, that we do that. We go after the one who, for whatever reason, has wandered away from the church. Again, maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they've got involved in something that is unhealthy in their walk with the Lord. There are a number of reasons why people stray from the truth. William Arthur Ward said this: flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you. Encourage them. Let us not kick people when they go out the door. You know the old saying, don't let the door hit you on your way out. May that not be our attitude. May that not be our attitude. We have too much of that in the world. And so it must be our attitude of encouragement, going back to a few points ago, that our attitude is important there. There's been too much kicking of someone while they're down. And the world has watched the church do that to one another for way too long. I have a minister friend of mine who has experienced a tragedy in their life. That's the best way for me to say it. A tragedy in their life, and they are no longer behind the pulpit in ministry. And his wife got a hold of my wife the other day and said, it has been so sad to me that nobody has reached out to them. We had a conversation just a couple months ago. This is totally separate. This was not of their doing, nothing they'd done. They just took some time away from ministry. You have a medical, whatever. Let's say you had to step aside, and then nobody took the time to call you, to encourage you, to have cut you deep. I mean, they ministered faithful. You hear my heart. They were faithful ministers, and nobody reached out to them. That's hurtful. But it's not just ministers. It's people in the church. You understand what I'm trying to say? It could be anybody. For whatever reason, they step aside, or they have to take some time away, or maybe they move away. They had to move. Nothing wrong, nothing bad. They just had to move. And to another community, they haven't really got plugged into a church. I mean, if they still said they had a church home, it would be this church home. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? And then but they had to move, and so a week goes by, and a month goes by, and 6 months go by, and they never hear from the body anymore. Sorry, you're not here on Sunday mornings. Out of sight, out of mind. May that not be us. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? We've got to encourage those. And for whatever reason, they are not in the church world anymore. Maybe that's the best way for me to say it. Again, it could be something of their own choosing that they've done. It could be something that has happened to them. It may just be something in life. Life has led them to have to move or whatever. It's important that we remember them as being members of the family of God. Even if we had some people in the church that had to move to Arizona. Didn't have to, but they moved. They retired and they moved to Arizona. Why? I have no idea. Why you would move from the promised land of Kansas to Arizona is beyond me. But they get it. But they would come back and visit. And one thing they consistently would step in my office and say, Pastor, it's been so encouraging because, man, I heard just 3 weeks ago we got a letter from so-and-so in the church. So-and-so from the church. That's when I knew the body of Christ was acting like the body of Christ. Amen? That, man, we encouraged one another. It didn't matter. There was a connection made, and that connection was for life at that point. For life. It didn't matter what happened to you or where you went. We were connected for life. And that's an encouragement to me, and it was an encouragement to them. And so I want to encourage you to do the same. There is so much to be said about this gift of encouragement. Many more verses of which we could explore given the time today. However, let me bring this towards a close. We'll be closing in about 45 minutes. So towards a close, it's a mistake to simply hear the word of God on any subject and leave unchanged. Let me state that again. It's a mistake to simply hear the word of God on any given Sunday morning and leave here unchanged. To leave without knowing how we can apply this teaching to our own lives. So let me take a second to suggest a few ways to encourage each of us who fall into these three areas today. For those who have not accepted the Lord, listen to the individual at the checkout counter for the clues that they give you about themselves. You check out, my daughter at 9 years old wants to be a Walmart cashier. This is important to her. Don't crush a young girl's dreams. And so, But you know what it's like when they say, how are you today? Oh, I'm doing great. How are you today? Well, I'm doing okay. Well, you don't sound so reassuring. What's going on? Well, yeah, my daughter. Right there at the cashier. Well, what's your daughter's name? Her name is Sophie. What's going on? She's ringing my stuff up. Sophie's experiencing some medical stuff. And can I do this? Can I just pray for Sophie? I mean, I'm not going to do it right here in the line. I know you're busy, but I just want you to know I'm praying for Sophie. And the next time you go back into Walmart, you know whose lane I go to? Hers. You know why I go there? Because I want to find out how Sophie's doing. Ringing my stuff up. How's your day going? My day's going good. How's your day going? That's going better, yeah. But hey, how is Sophie doing? You know what? She's doing a lot better. Man, I'm so glad because I've been praying for Sophie. You know what? I've just opened a door there. You understand? Open that door. Be consistent with people. It may be a waitress or a waiter at a restaurant or whatever the case may be for you. You know your own lifestyle. But whatever that is for you, be consistent with people and get engaged in their life. Let them know that you're praying for them. Follow up with them the next time you see them. Write a note of encouragement to someone who has never accepted Christ just to encourage them. The old saying is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's absolute truth. I was a chaplain for 5 years in our police department. And the police are, maybe, I don't know firemen, but police are extremely hard people to earn their trust. They don't trust you very well. And so over 5 years, though, I began to earn their trust, and I had opportunity then to encourage them in a variety of ways. And some of them came to know Christ. Man, I married, buried, and dedicated babies in the police department in 5 years because they trusted me, because I earned that, because I engaged in their life. I want to encourage you to engage in people's lives, those who have yet to accept the Christ, engage in their life. Send a quick note, a quick text to someone you may know personally who has not accepted Jesus and who may be going through a hard time. Just let them know that you're praying for them. In just a moment, we're going to have opportunity to do that. For those of you who are in the family of God, for those who are part of the family of God that are, just let them know you're praying for them again on a daily basis. Encourage one another to remain faithful to the house of the Lord. It may be that you have to go out of your way to pick somebody up, just like John Strauss and Hank Reichkugel did for me, went out of their way to pick me up on a daily basis, or on a weekly basis, rather, just to encourage them to remain faithful to the house of the Lord. Give gifts. Whoa. Yeah, give gifts. This is a way to encourage. How many of you like to receive gifts? It's better to give than to receive. How many of you like to receive? Be honest. You like to receive? I do too. I mean, give gifts. That's a way to encourage people, isn't it? Especially, hey, listen, here's, if somebody's going through a financial hard time and you have means, you want to encourage somebody, bless them. Bless them. If you have means and you're able, bless them. That will encourage them. So it goes beyond just a, hey, I'm praying for you, or a quick text to let them know, or a card in the mail. But again, those are good ways to encourage somebody. But if you have means, give a gift. For those who've strayed away from the truth of God, don't let them feel deserted. Pursue them. And like the others, again, send them notes in a variety of forms. I would encourage you to make phone calls, make a personal contact with them. If somebody has strayed away from the Lord, strayed away from the church, go beyond just a simple text and hear their voice on the phone. See their face at their house. Take them to lunch. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Engage in them on a very intentional basis to encourage them. Simply treat them the way you would want to be treated. I think that's a good rule of thumb. Treat them the way you want to be treated. And sometimes we like to hide behind the excuse, well, I just don't want nobody to mess with me then. I just want everybody to leave me alone, so I'll just leave them alone. We like to retreat behind that, but the reality is down here, we understand it should be nice if somebody made contact with me. You know, and so make contact with them, encourage them. This pastor friend of mine, do I text him? Yeah, I text him, but I call him too. And not only do I call him, but we've had dinner together. You understand? You have to make that personal, intentional contact. So I want to encourage you to do that on a regular basis. many ways to close the service out like today, and I want to conclude with really two actions. If you have a cell phone, I told you I would encourage you to do this. If you have your cell phone, take it out. Action step number one, take out your cell phone. Hopefully you have somebody in mind that either doesn't know the Lord, maybe has strayed from the church for a variety of reasons. Maybe they're in the church and they're not here this morning because of illness or whatever the case may be. I don't know who it is that you want to encourage this morning. But I want to encourage you to send a quick text to that individual. So it may be, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you today. And then don't just say it, but do it. You understand? How many of you heard that? I'm praying for you today. And you wonder, are you really praying for me? I think you just sent that text to like 10,000 people. Did you really pray for each one individually? You understand? But if you can say you're praying for them, pray for them. Okay, so take a moment. So don't look at me. Look down at your phone. Make your contact. I'm going to do the same. Okay, mine is sent. So if my phone comes off, you'll know why. It's because he's responding back. I had many in the police department that they just had a lot of junk going on in their life. You talk about a lot of family issues? Man, a lot of marriage issues. So you encourage these guys to do what they need to do. Before we pray, these are some things I told you in the very beginning that I was not a Barnabas. I have to practice. I mean, I have to work at being encouraged every day. Intentionally is what I'm trying to say. And so intentionally in my office, I had a list, Pastor, of everybody in the church, and then I had a list of all the officers. I had a list of people in my. I was a substitute teacher for 12 years, and so a number of the teachers and coaches, I had their names down too. And I want to encourage you to do this if you haven't already. Just begin to list people in your life, and maybe that fall in any one of those three categories. And then when you do that, be it either for me, it was the legal pad system. I was the old school, write it on a legal pad. And I had their name down, and then I had the way that I was intentional with encouragement. Either I sent them a text on this date, or I sent them a letter on this date, or I called them on this date. You understand? So that I can look back and see who have I not intentionally made a contact with. And so I encourage you to do that if you are that person who needs to just be more systematic. Maybe that'd be the way that you do that. Let's keep people in your life. And beside each name, write how you're going to encourage them. And then pray for God's help to keep, to help you recognize the power of encouragement and to encourage one another the way that you should. To say encouraging words, not to be discouraging, to speak in a way that brings life to somebody. Again, people are used to being kicked around. They are taken back if you take the time because you really care. So intentionally, be intentional with encouraging words. And make it a habit to encourage those around you. Again, consider keeping track from day to day on how you can, how you want to be an encouragement to people. For me, it was the legal system, like I said, the legal pad. And I don't know how many postcards I went through because they were cheaper to send. I don't know how many legal pads I went through because I had more to say. I was thankful when they came out with unlimited text. It hasn't always been that way, young people. We used to have to pay. So I was thankful when they came out with unlimited text. But what about you? Where do you fall in those categories this morning? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and Sometimes it's just a reflection of our life. You know, how have I been as an encourager? Where do I stand personally? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Christ. I can't think of a better thing to do on this April the 17th, 2016 than to give your life to Christ. There's no greater decision you'll ever make. So maybe that's you. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what? Man, I need the attaboy. I need the pat on the back. I need somebody to say, you're doing a good job. Blaine, you're doing a good job. With the kids, with the youth, with the church. I know what it's like to sit on that seat. Maybe not that seat, but you know what I mean. I know what it's like to sit on that seat. Faithful for that many years. I know what it's like. And I know what it's like when you have people like your pastor who speak very highly of you. Sometimes we all need that. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're making it. You're making a difference. Keep it up. I'm behind you. Praying for you. Keep after all those Royal Ranger boys. You never know what they're going to become. John Strauss, I sat in his living room. We were looking through pictures, and he'd tell me stories about every boy. This boy is here. This boy is here. This boy just got out of prison. This boy is a minister now. This boy is, you never know. You hear what I'm saying? Just be faithful. Man, be faithful. You never know. And that little kid who's just running around that you just want to wring by the neck, you never know. Maybe his name won't be Billy Graham. Maybe it'll be, I don't know, whoever. Replace him. You understand? You never know who he's going to become. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. So this morning we're going to close in prayer, and I want to encourage you to just really examine your life and examine how am I, because everybody in this church, in these four walls right here, all of us, it's our duty, our responsibility to be an encourager, to be an encourager. So let me encourage you this morning, be an encourager. Lord, I love you and thank you, Father, for an opportunity to come and to share your word. Lord, and I pray, although we didn't have opportunity to explore every passage of which you talk about and encourage us to be an encourager, Lord, I pray that the ones that we do share this morning, God, that they penetrate our hearts, each one of us, God, from the youngest person here to the oldest, may it penetrate our heart and our life, God, that we be changed. Lord, it's not an opportunity maybe that we're going to dance around an altar this morning, but Lord, I pray more so than that, that we leave changed, God, that we leave challenged, that we leave convicted, that we leave comforted as well this morning, knowing that we can be that encourager to somebody, and that indeed somebody will come along, they'll encourage us as we need it as well. Lord, I pray that you'll put people in our lives that are encouragers. Lord, may we not fall prey to the temptations of the world to stray away from our faith. God, if there be those in this room that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this morning they'll make a decision today to follow you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to take just a moment and ask, is there one? I don't know those of you in this room. So maybe you're here this morning and you were invited. Maybe you just slipped in here. But I do want to take a second and ask, are you here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? If that's you, would you just slip up a hand just so I can be able to pray with you? That's all I want to do. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I do want to be able to pray with you. So if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, would you just slip up a hand? Let me see where you're at. Is there one? All right, excellent. Then I believe that I'm talking to the entire body of Christ. Each one of us accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord of our life. And so I want to encourage you, as part of the body of Christ, be an encourager. Lord, may we leave this place changed by the power of your word. God, may we leave this place more of an encourager than when we slipped in the door. We love you and we thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.